So if we'll start in English. We'll see if we ever need to change it to Hebrew at some kind, at some point. Those of you who are going to be completely confused about what we're talking about, last week we started talking about the Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, which is what we're going to talk about today. Last week on Shabbat, not this week, the week before, I spoke about saying things b'shem omro, or not. If somebody says things on their own, where it was really heard from somebody else, what kind of issues are involved in this. So now, these issues actually come together, these two topics, because of something the Magen Avraham says here. Now, those of you who don't remember or weren't here, the Magen Avraham Kuf Nun Vav, this is the siman that a person should have a job and work, and he throws all kinds of things in. He just kobo. Anything that that he didn't have place. You know, let me put it this way. I mean, one of the things that we mentioned last week is that not every single aspect of Judaism is represented in the Shulchan Aruch. There's lots of things that, again, and not just because it's not Noheg Bizman Hazeh, there could be lots of things that just don't make it for whatever the reason may be. I think some of it is a structural reason. Because when you put the various parts of Shulchan Aruch in the sequence that you put it, the order that you put it, there could be things that fall between the proverbial cracks because it just wasn't a place to necessarily have mentioned it. Exactly, exactly. This halakha, actually, I do know where you could have put it. You should have put it in your Yerideya, where it talks about Hilchot Talmud Torah, Hilchot... There are a couple of things there that you could have put it in. So, source number one, he says something which may be incredibly problematic, but we'll learn it anyway. Im Shema Din, now that's just a very interesting introduction to it, because a lot of people will present this without those first three words. Those first three words are important. Shema Din, which means it could be that along the way, all of us have heard something from somebody. You know, you'll say to me, you'll scratch your head, okay, maybe I learned it in yeshiva, and all of us, right, do that. Yeah, I think somebody said this there, but you're not 100% who said it or where they said it or so on, or the context. But you're pretty sure you heard somebody say it. So that's the starting point. Im Shema Din, you've heard a halakha. V'nirelo shalakha kach. And based upon your knowledge, your understanding, your learning, it sounds like it's a reasonable thing to say. Mutar la omro b'shem adam gadol ki hechi dilakable mine. You can then say it over in the name of somebody who's far more authoritative, because that way there's a better chance that other people listening will accept it. Now, at face value, that seems absolutely preposterous. Because I would say the proper thing to do is to say, I once heard this, I don't know where I heard it, but it seems to make sense to me. I'm sure there are things that, again, in my mind, that in terms of halakha, that's exactly the situation. I've heard it, whatever, it makes sense. I've never seen anything which contradicted to it. Maybe I found some things that can support it, but I never heard anybody say it black and white. So you say it like that. And to claim that somebody who never said it, just so that people accept it for you, that seems, you want to put a label on that? That seems not just preposterous. It seems dishonest. Mm-hmm. Which means, it's a lie, not necessarily in terms of the content of the halakha, but it's a lie in terms of the Masorah. Because you're saying that you are Makabalist in the Masorah, right? This is your tradition. This is what you heard from somebody. And it's not precise. You think you heard it from somebody, and you think somebody said it, but the person who you're claiming said it didn't say it. You know, if people can get away with this, first of all, it explains all kinds of problems that we have in the world. But if people can get away with this, then essentially that everything that anybody says is meaningless, because who knows?
Fake news.
Fake news. Maybe that should be the title. Fake news, fake halacha. So he then brings, you see, parenthetically, there are two sources, Erev Nun Aleph and Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Bet. We're only going to look into the Psachim one, and we'll see if we think it actually says it or not. But then he himself says, Uvasof Masechet Kala Ita HaOmer Davar B'Shem Chacham Shelo Gamru Mimenu. If you say over halacha from somebody you didn't really learn from, Gorim L'Shechina Shetestalik, you cause the Shechina to go away. Again, when you learn Torah, you cause the Shechina to come. When you quote somebody that had said something that didn't say it, so you cause the Shechina to go away. V'kachi b'brachot kaf zayin. And it says, and it's also brought down brachot kaf zayin there. I'll just mention Rabbi Lezer says this. The reason why I'll say this, because afterwards he, in a line, he'll say, kol sheino om medavu b'shem omro, over b'lav. So I would have thought that when he quotes the Gemara, he should have actually quoted who said it. The Gemara, Rabbi Lezer says it. But I just want to read again. V'kachi b'brachot daf kof zayin. And what does he say? Ayin sham b'talmidu Rabbeinu Yonah. And take a look at the commentary there of what Talmidu Rabbeinu Yonah says. And then he writes v'tzarachin. So he says, and I'm not sure exactly what to do. So anybody who wants to tell me that the Magen Avraham absolutely said that you can do it, that's not the conclusion. His conclusion is Tzarechian. Tzarechian means Tzarechian. Tzarechian means Tzarechian. If you look in source 17, I know we may have just now... We'll see that in a second. If you look at source 17, it's a Birkei Yosef. I want the second paragraph, which is Ot Yud Chet. This is actually a note in the Birkei Yosef. He writes, "Uvemet Siyanti Sham Birachot Kav Zayin Rid Bet Ita." It says there, "Tani Rabbi Lezer." I told you, we'll say it b'shem Omro, right? Hamitpalach Rei Rabbo v'chuli va'omer Dov v'shalosh Shema mipi Rabbo Gorim l'shtina shistalat miYisrael v'katav Sham Tamid Rabbeinu Yona. That's what he was quoting over there. Ratzalomu sh'omer mishmo Dov v'shalosh Shema mipiv. So therefore, how did Tamid Rabbeinu Yona understand this? They understand that if you cite your Rebbe having said something you never heard him say, and you say that you heard him say it, so that causes the Shechina to go away. And this is actually what caused the Magen Avraham to say, if it's Tzarechian. Why Tzarechian? Because he thinks he has a Gemara that says the opposite. So what's the Gemara that he thinks says the opposite? Let's look at source number two now. Source number two is the Gemara in Pesachim. Chamisha Dvarim Tzivor Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. On this Gemara, I have a chapter in my forthcoming book on Agadot, trying to explain every word in this source. So we will skip every word of this source except for the one that that he's going to be citing. Chamisha Dvarim Tzivor Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Kisher Chavush Beit HaAsurim. Rabbi Kiva was in prison. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai came to visit. Amar Lo, he said, Rabbi Lamdeinu Torah. So Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai said to Rabbi Kiva, teach me Torah. Amar Einim Lamdecha, I'm not going to teach you. Amar Lo, Im Ein Atam Lamdeinu, if you don't teach me any, Amar Liyochai Abba, Umasucha Lamachut, I'm going to tell my father and report you to the government. Rabbi Kiva is already in prison. You'll have to read my book. Amar Lo, he says, Bini. Yot Masha Igor Tzelinok Paro Tzelahanik. So that's where that phrase comes from. Essentially saying, more than you want to learn, I want to teach. Amar lo, mi b'sakana, b'leik b'sakana. Amar lo, and here's where we're getting to the phrase, im bikash t'lechanek, itelab ilan gadol. If you're going to be strangled, then do it from a big tree.
And that was the Torah that he taught him?
Yes. If you're going to be strangled, do it from a big tree. No, ma kesher. So look at Rashi, source 3. Im bikash t'lechanek. Somehow Rashi interprets that Lomer Davar Sheyeh Nishma Lebriot Vikablu Mimcha. If you want to say something over in Torah that people will accept from you, Hitaleh Bilan Gadol Omer B'Shem Adam Gadol. Then make sure you say it in the name of somebody who's very significant. Now, did Rashi say what the Magen Avraham thought he said? Did Rashi say what the Magen Avraham thought he said, or did he not say it? He said, if you want to say something that people are going to accept, then say it in the name of somebody who's big. Because if it's somebody who's not big, what will people say to you? And who are you? Right? Why is it important? Now, did Rashi say to make it up if you haven't heard it from someone big? Or did Rashi give strategy? If you want a halakha to be accepted, make sure you say it in somebody who's of significance. Which means the way that the Magen Avraham took this Rashi, I'm saying, at best, is debatable. At worst, is just not what Rashi said. Yeah, are you with me on that, or you disagree?
Yeah, I'm
are you
I'm over in Adam Gadol. It's not clear whether it's... It's certainly not the way that you initially understood it from the...
If you would have read this Rashi by yourself, would you have immediately said, oh, Rashi says I can make something up if I never heard it? No. Or you would not have gone that far?
Necessarily have come to that. Admittedly, it's a little ambiguous, though. Amor b'shem Adam Gadol. But the problem is a bit before that.
Yeah.
Lomar davar she'yeh nishma l'briyot v'kablu mimcha. Take it from you, Pliny Almighty, that nobody knows.
Right.
So say the name of somebody big.
Right.
So it does sound a little bit like...
No, so I'm saying you could read it that way. I'm just asking, did he actually say it? If you look at the Rashbam in source number 5, we'll skip Rabbi Nochanan for a moment. So you see Rashbam, right? Ain't a goal of Rashi, right? Rashi's grandson. He's saying over, I think he's saying Pshat and Rashi. What does it mean? Limud b'bnei Rav amur shmotav mishmo. Make sure you learn it from an authority, from somebody authoritative, and then say it over in his name. So I'll come back to that in a second. Look at Rabbeinu Chanano now in source 4 that we skipped. Lichanek itleb ilan gadol pirish imratzita l'shol b'davar isur sha'al chocham gadol v'asaka horato. You know, completely different. Which means, imbikash lichanek, right? Yidlabi Dlan Gadol, which means if you're gonna ask something about halakha, make sure you ask from somebody who's very authoritative. Which means nothing about the way that the Magen Avraham understood that Rashi is telling us. The Gemara says, see, I want to say this a little bit stronger. The Gemara did not say, I mean, with all due respect now, the Gemara didn't say what the Magen Avraham said it said. He said, oh, because, look at the Magen Avraham again. Read it again. Venir, right? Im shamadim, venir ala shalach kein, mutar lomar b'shem adam gadol, ki hecha de lakami b'nei, and he says, look at Pesachim, daf kof yud bet. Pesachim kof yud bet didn't say that. It had rather something which is very enigmatic, right? You have an enigmatic Gemara and then an ambiguous Rashi. So he's going to tell me that the Gemara said it. The Gemara didn't say it. You have an ambiguous Rashi, which may lead you to believe that he said it. Also, let's look at the Rashbam. Rashbam clarifies the ambiguous Rashi and says, no, didn't say you can make it up. It says, make sure you learn by somebody who knows. You look at Rabbeinu Chanan. Rabbeinu Chanan understands the enigmatic Gemara very differently. That if you want to know what halacha is, make sure you ask somebody who's an authority. Didn't say you can then make up and claim that an authority said something? I mean, he doesn't say that. What I have in that picture is, if you look in the Gemara Pesachim itself, you open up the Gemara, you'll see on the bottom of the page, in the margin, you'll find this commentary written, Pirish imritzita lish'ol b'davar isur klomar, shatatzarich ladun din chamur, b'dinei nefashot, sha'al l'chacham gadol v'asaka horato. And he quotes that from the Aruch. V'shem denokat lishna dehitlan be'ila nokat lishna dechanika. So he's talking about dinei nefashot. If you're going to deal with dinei nefashot and you're not 100% sure, so then make sure that you go back and you call up your Rebbe and you say, listen, I'm dealing with a very, very heavy case right now. You know, what's your opinion on this? So, and again, and he brings that from the Aruch, and the Aruch is also, you know, quite ancient. So to take this one Rashi and then to say that this is what the Gemara said is to me a little bit strange, when you had a whole bunch of other Rishonim that understood it differently, and even the Rashi, I would say, was not necessarily conclusive. So that would be my problem with this. Skipping a little bit, and hopefully it'll be clearer when we come back. I mean, when I say skipping, I mean the Rambam is going to come out of nowhere, but let's read the Rambam, because he would seem to address a similar or parallel issue, certainly by the time we get to commentary on the Rambam. Or a comment on the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, is in Hilchot Talmud Torah, which I said that really is the right place to be talking about this. He ends Halacha Chet there. This is Perikei Halacha Chet. V'chol Talmid shemizalzel davar mikol kavod rabo gorim l'shchina shetestalik miYisrael. So that was actually the Rambam's read of that Gemara that we read, that if you claim your rabbi said something he didn't say, it causes the Shekhinah to go away. There was actually three things that were mentioned in that Gemara, and the Rambam just threw them all together, and he had them all being the same, essentially saying these are all things which lack respect. Which means, on top of everything else, on top of the problem of lying, there's also a lack of respect. Can you imagine, you know, your rabbi hears and somebody quotes him as saying, you know, how many people did this to Rabbi Soloveitchik? Oh, Rabbi Soloveitchik said so on and so forth. And then he says, I said what? Like what? That is disrespectful. Aside from the problem of lying, that's disrespectful. So it's very interesting how the Rambam took this and says, anybody who does anything which is disrespectful to their rabbi, that causes the Shekhinah to go away. And I would just say, presumably, this is included as well. The Rambam continues in Halacha Tet, Rabbo Ovo Dvar Torah, Omen Lo Limadetani Rabbeinu Kach V'Kach, that even if you think your rabbi is wrong, then you still say it or question with respect. The Kolzman Shemaskir Shmoa B'Fanav, Omer lo kach limadatani rabbeinu. And if you ever say a teaching in front of your rabbi, you always would say to him, as you have taught us, because that's respectful, rather than for you to start saying something when you've learned it from him. So it's just disrespectful for you to speak like this. Va'al yomer dovu shelo shemar mi rabbo ad sheyizkir shem omro. So now, the Rambam turns all of this into questions of respect. And he's not even going as far as we went in terms of that Magen Avraham, that you can just say something which is absolutely not true. He's saying quite the opposite. Laws of respect are that if you say something that you heard from your teacher, you say, I heard from my teacher. If you heard it from somebody else, you say, I heard from somebody else. One could question whether the Rambam is speaking in general terms or the Rambam is talking about discourse with one's teacher. There is room to say that that's exclusively what he's speaking about. when you speak to your teacher, you say, Rebbe, I've heard this from you. You taught us this. Or to say, Rebbe, I heard this from somebody else. But is it... Right, I agree. As I said, I see where one could limit the Rambam into merely one of respect in terms of dealing directly with one's teacher, as opposed to the disrespect by putting words into one's teacher's mouth to a third party. The Beit Yosef, which apparently has no number next to it, the Beit Yosef is in Yerideya Siman Reish Mem Bet, which, by the way, that's the place to find laws about Talmud Torah. That's the place. Kach v'lo yomar devar shelo shema mirabo. Right, and that part, the Beit Yosef, for those of us who don't remember, is a commentary on the Torah. So he's quoting the Torah over here, telling us what the Torah said. Now let me just think for a second if I want to do this directly like this, or perhaps there's a better way of us present. Okay, we'll do it like this. So the Beit Yosef is quoting the Torah, and he says, "V'lo yodavar shelo shema mirabo." You shouldn't say something you didn't hear from your teacher, right? Which goes back to the Gemara. Beperit tefillah shachar, right? That was the Gemara in Brachot. Ha'omadov shelo shema mirabo gorm neshchinah shetzalak miyisrael upirish harush. Now, those of us who don't remember, the Rush is the father of the Torah. So when he's quoting the Torah over here, now it's, again, he's going back to the father and teacher of the Torah. He goes, "V'pirish harosh, davar shalom on pirabo, va'omar mi pirabo." Which means, what are we talking about? What does it mean that you caused the Shekhinah to go away? When you say something you didn't hear from your teacher, and he added one more clause, and you claim your teacher said it. So, again, this goes directly against what the Magen Avraham said, or if you wanted to say this was the second half of the Magen Avraham, the reason why he said Sarachian. Now, that, to me, this is very funny. The reason why it's very funny to me is, you know, we know that there's many, many times that Gemaras, at face value, contradict one another, right? That's basically what put Tosfot in business, right? How can you say this Gemara over here, because this Gemara over here said this, and then Tosfot tries to reconcile them. In this particular case, I don't understand the Magen Avraham, and I don't understand the Tzarechian. Why? Because the two sides are not fair. They're not equal two sides. One side says, whoever says something that, you know, claims that his Rebbe said something, who didn't say it, right? Ha'omidav shalosh shemami pi rabo gorm neshtinish talk miyisrael. That seems pretty black and white. On the other hand, it says, right, the Gemara Pesachim, which, again, is ambiguous. And that was, so you're going to tell me there's a tzarech in about that? There's no tzarech in. However, I thought I understood the other one. I was mistaken, because I have another Gemara which is black and white. So why do I have a tzarech in over here? I would say, in tzarech in. Right? There's a resolution. This is not too fair. Right? I'm, this is clear what I'm saying. This is not a contradiction. Why is this tzarech in? Anyway, the Beit Yosef continues, and he quotes the Rush, and then he adds the Vaharamam Katav Perek Hei Milchot Talmud Torah V'lo Yomadov Shelosh Shema Mipirabo Anchi Eskir Shem Omro V'kat Katav Rabbeinu, and the Torah cites that as well. V'nira Shestam Kol Masha Talmid Omer Sovrim HaShomrim Shemirabo Shemo V'im Lo Shemo Mipiv Tzarech Lodia Mipim Mishemo. That went even further now than we had seen before. I would say it's like the opposite of what we've seen. What's it saying? It's saying is that if you know that somebody's a student of a particular person, so you will assume that on the default level that his Torah knowledge came from his teacher, which also gives it some gravitas, right? You know this person learned, right? You could assume, I'm not saying this is true at all, you can assume, okay, I learned by Rabbi Soloveitchik for 3 years, so whatever I say would have been from him. Okay, I would tell you that that's not necessarily true. But I can understand somebody making such an assumption. So what is he saying? That because somebody can make such an assumption, one needs to be intellectually honest and say, you know, slow down a second. Yeah, I learned from him, but this he did not say, and don't make the assumption that he said it. So this, again, is the exact opposite of what the Magen Avraham is trying to convince us, that even if I didn't hear him say it, I'm allowed to say it in his name, so people should accept it. He's saying the opposite is true. I have to make sure that when I say something which he didn't say, that everyone knows that he didn't say it. And that's the way that the Beit Yosef ends up with this issue. The Divrei Chamudot, that is the Tosfot Yom Tov, better known as the Tosfot Yom Tov. So this is his commentary to the Rush, right? You have the old-time Gemaras that have things in the back, so when you have the Rush, underneath the Rush, you have the Divrei Chamudot, and he explains, "V'am Pi Rab." We'll see soon why this is important. Va'omru mipi rabo, va'harabam katav, v'lo yom adav shalosh mipi rabo, ad shizkir shem omro, v'kachas ha-tur, v'pir shabet Yosef, v'shum distam kol ma shatamid, omer sovrim ma'sham im shemi rabo shamo. So that was the, I don't know, you want to say it's the chiddush of the Beit Yosef? Right, because you're going to assume, people will assume that he heard from his teacher. V'im lo shem mipi tzarech lo diwim pi mi shamo. Right, exactly like we saw in the Beit Yosef. Ad kan. V'hatam, and so it's interesting because he quotes the other Gemara as well, but he's saying is that this could, if you would not have done this, it could have caused confusion, and people may be confused, if I'm not mistaken now, because of that other Gemara. So therefore, one should always make sure that they know what the source is. Which means that it could be that you're saying something your teacher never said, and people will attack him for it. So your teacher's getting attacked for something he never said. So why should your teacher be attacked for something he never said? And that, which means he's like he's putting the two together, because the Rambam took all of this in terms of the rules of kibud rabo, right? It was kibud rabo, and over here there's also this issue of again passing on the Masorah with authenticity. Most of the discussion on this, which doesn't come on the Gemara Pesachim, it doesn't come on the Gemara Brachot, is going to revolve this Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, in source number 8. Shiva dvarim begolem v'shiva bechacham. So I don't know if you ever considered a golem and a chacham as two sides of the coin. Chacham einu medaber mipnei mishehu gadu menu b'chachmu v'minyan. Ve'einu nichnas l'toch divrei chaveru. Ve'einu nevhal l'hashiv. Shol ki'inyan u'meshiv kalacha. Va'omer rishon rishon v'al achron achron. V'al mashu lo shama omer lo shamati. U'mode alamet v'chilu fehim b'golem. So what does a golem do then? Andover shelo shamati hu omer shamati. So he says, that's what a golem is. Now, I'm not going to go into, if we ever go to Prague, maybe we can discuss what a golem is, but I'm not going to go into a long discourse of what a golem is, but it doesn't sound very good. It sounds like it's not a compliment. It's like this unfinished product, as opposed to the chacham, who's a finished product. This is somebody who's very gruff and somebody who behaves inappropriately, and it's interesting, all of this seems to be involving speech, which, by the way, there are whole mystical discussions whether a golem was able to have a capacity to speak or not. Okay, so as I said, Yishar Batzad. Skip to number 12 for a moment, because I just want to present some of these more in a proper sequence. Maybe 11 first, Rabbeinu Yonah. We already saw Tamidu Rabbeinu Yonah in the Gemara in Brachot, and here's Rabbeinu Yonah on his commentary to Avot. This is the proper way you present something. Somebody asks you something. You say, I don't have a tradition on this point. I have not learned this from my teachers, but this is what I see. Now, I think, you know, again, you are my audience for right now. So I'll ask you, would you appreciate when someone teaches something, when they say, oh, I have this on tradition, or when someone says, I have no tradition, but this is what I think? Because it accurately reflects the weight to which you can choose to accept what someone's saying to you. If somebody says, and there are some things that I can say, I did hear from Rabbi Soloveitchik, who did hear from his father, or heard from his grandfather, or heard from Chaim Volozhin, who heard from the Vilna Gaon, so that itself has a certain amount of strength to it. On the other hand, if I say, listen, I was learning and this is what I think, so I would assume that you would take those two statements very, very differently. One is saying that there is a Masorah going back to at least this point, and one is saying, you know, I had a Sfarah. Okay, so I have a Sfarah. You know, as much as many of us can be delusional, I hope none of us believe in our delusions that we are as great as the Vilna Gaon was. So I think that itself, I think the Rabbeinu Yonah is very interesting here, because he's telling us really the exact opposite. That if you have something on tradition, say the tradition. If you don't have something on tradition, then you must state, I don't have a tradition on this, but this is what I think from my learning. So I think the Rabbeinu Yonah over here is very clear. The Ravadu Bartanur in source 12 writes, V'ama shelo shema omer lo shamati, Imposek din mi svarami dato, lo yomar kach shamati mirabotai. Again, same thing as the Rabbeinu Yonah, although you can claim that Rabbeinu Yonah was even a little bit broader. If you don't have a tradition, you can't say, I have a tradition. So, again, it's really interesting, at least to me, how many of these opinions just go straight against what this Magen Avraham wanted to say from an ambiguous, yes, if you want, I will. If you want, I will. Right. Rav Matatya Hayitzari, I believe that's a Yemenite commentary, source 13, he writes, Ama shelo shema omar lo shemati, aval yomar zeyir eli. Lo shiyat tola svarato barabo kidei sheaminu. Right, the exact opposite of what we wanted to read in Rashi. Oh, you want someone to believe you, then say, oh, I heard this from my Rebbe. So I would again assume that all of these chachamim did not read Rashi the way that that was claimed. So the Machzit HaShekel, okay, let's go, we didn't do 9, did we? 9. 9 is the Tosfos Yom Tov, who we already looked at before in the Divrei Chamudot. So the, right, Divrei. So the Tosfos Yom Tov in source 9 writes, Masha lo shama omer lo shamati, pirish harav, so he starts with Bar Tanura, imposing din min asfara midato, lo yamakach shamati merabotai, vitamhani, zoom midat kol adam shelo l'shaker. He goes, oh, what's the big deal? You're not allowed to lie. Like, why are we making such a big deal about this? Kol shken vipsak din sheitlats mo b'ilan gadol, v'lai shumim yismichu alav, okay, we'll leave this side point. So I think that the Tosfos answer is very clear. It could be when we read the Divrei Chamudot, we were not 100% of what he said, but there again, he says, no, you have to let people know. So now you say, of course you have to let people know. And you can't lie, you have to let people know where something came from. The reason why I'm stressing this a little bit is source number 10, the Machzor HaShekel. Now, just notice a second. The Machzor HaShekel is back in Orach Chaim Kuf Nun Vav. So the Machzor HaShekel is a commentary on that Magen Avraham. So you're asking me, is anybody going to support the Magen Avraham? So we'll see. We'll give you 3 people who will support the Magen Avraham. The Machzor HaShekel, how much will we read? V'chein u'brachot daf kav zayin, ayin sham b'tamidu Rabbeinu Yonah, ratzalomer, right? What did Tamidu Rabbeinu Yonah say? So we read that before. They said what? We read it in the last source in 17. Tamidu Rabbeinu Yonah said, ratzalomer sha'omer mishmo devar shelo shamay piv. You're not allowed to say something you didn't hear. Not only that, we also now realize Rabbeinu Yonah had said something over here as well. In source 11, we saw him say, ma shelo shami pi rabo omer lo shamati rabotai, v'im yeshulav sfora b'davar omer aval kach yiran. You're Eli, so we have a very good sense. So he quotes the Gemara, and then he says something which, again, I think is a little... he will say something which I think is a little remarkable. Let's go on. The Gemara, Ita halashon ha'omer davar shelo shamay pi rabo gorm l'shchina shenistalik miyisrael. V'yef shalom v'shelo yomar din midat atzmo ki ima shekibel mipi rabo. V'kasher inahegir b'lezer shelo ola mi'olam davar shelo shamay mipi rabo ki di'ita b'sokas. Now, this is interesting, which I'm not sure that he noticed. The same one who said that whoever says something that his Rebbe didn't say is goring for the Shechina as Mistalik B'Yisrael is Rebbe Lezer, who says in the Gemara in Sukkah, I never said something in my life that I didn't hear from my Rebbein. I never did that. There's a question that everybody asks on this. There's a piece from Chaim Shmulevitz, because there's a in Pirkei Rebbe Lezer in the second chapter, and also I believe it's found in Avot Rabbi Natan, it says that once Rabbi Lezer was giving a drasha, and no one ever heard these words before in his life. So how could it be? Then he says, I never said anything I didn't hear from my teacher. And on the other hand, he said that no one ever heard this before. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said that sometimes you learn the core of something from your teacher, but then you apply it a little bit further. So as far as Rabbi Lezer was concerned, it was Pasha. That's what his teacher said, even though he made the application a little bit further than his teacher had ever imagined, so, which, by the way, I think is a very interesting question then. So did he hear that from his teacher or didn't hear from his teacher? So Chaim Shmulevitz wanted to say he did hear it from his teacher, even though he went further than his teacher, which now maybe opens up a new kind of question. But even there, I would say, see, he claimed he didn't realize it. But I was claiming, if you do realize it, and it's actually honest, it'd have to be, my teacher said this and this, and I'm applying it in the next case, and I think that would fit into the general approach that we have seen till now. He then continues and he says about Rabbi Lezer, right, Niyud Rabbi Lezer, and I can mimidat chasidut. No, it's not the way that you have to behave. That it was just a midat chasidut. Ve'ech yomru al zeh shegorim l'shechina. It's not ech yomru. It's Rabbi Lezer who said it. So I don't understand this machzor shekel. It's as if he's not paying attention to who had said it. No, that's Rabbi Lezer, and that's Rabbi Lezer. So what do you want from her? What do you say? No. So now he's trying to divide between these two different opinions, right? How did they say? Okay, so we saw that's what the Torah Ben Yirmiyahu say. Ulam Harambam, the Torah Katvu v'lo Yomer Dovah Shloshem Mipi Rabo Ad Sheyizkir Shem Omro. Upirish Rav Beit Yosef, which we saw, Mishum Distam Kol Masha Tamid Omer Sovrim Hashem Mishum Rav Hashemo. And then he adds parenthetically, V'hainu Dafka B'Yemehim Avo Bizmanenu, which was a couple hundred years ago, Kol Masha Omim Stam Hu Mishem Atzmo. This is just very interesting. I can't tell you what's true or what's not true now, and what most people do. Vim Kane, Bizman Hazeh, Im Shama Dover Mi Rabo, Asur La Omrustam, Kach Kosov Hashach, Im Lo Shama Mi Pip, Tzarech Lo Dim Mi Pi, Mi Shamo. The Kotov Vesefer Lechem Chamudot, or Divrei Chamudot, the Perkter is right, Kaf Dalet, Shef Shesh the Fakpek Aladavar, who Venim Sesh Rabim, and again, Al Yado, again, turning to something of Kibud Rav. Vesiyim Alechem Chamudot, Ne Kane, Lo Hikpidu, Vermin. I think he just misunderstood this Lechem Chamudot, and I think if he would have looked in the Tosfot Yom Tov on his Mishnah, on his commentary in the Mishnah in Avot, then this whole argument falls apart. But essentially what I'm trying to say is, yeah, does anybody support the Magen Avraham? The Machzor Shekel did, and I think he had a bad day. It could be the whole reason is because that then it'll be an insult to your Rebbe. In Cain, im yodash davar hu davar barur the bo lefakpeg vadayo sheyodeya berabu she'enu makpid bazeh because im kavanato l'shem shemayim ki hechi delekablu minei mutar. And that's what Gemara says in Arei Pesachim. So the first problem, I'm going to say it again. It didn't say that in the Gemara Arei Pesachim. It had this ambiguous statement. So I hope that all of you are as shocked as I am with this Machzor Shekel, because even the Magen Avraham that he cited ended up with Tzarechin. And he says, I'm not sure. I have this on the one hand, that on the other hand. I don't understand why there's a Tzarechin over here. And again, he seems to have ignored that it was Rabbi Lezer who had said both things, and instead of claiming, and then saying, no, it's just Midat Chassidut. No, that was Rabbi Lezer who claimed that it was Gorim the Shechina of the Nostalgic Israel. And then to say, well, I think that this is what the Tosfot Yom Tov said. Why don't you just look in the Tosfot Yom Tov in Pirkei Avot, and you'll see, right, those of you who don't remember, that was just the source before, that source number 9. He says, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Again, you're not allowed to lie. He was the one who brought the lie. You can't lie. And what did the Machzor Shekel say? You can lie. For a good cause, you can lie. So I'm saying to use, if you know, let's say someone's about to become a rabbi in a small town. And he has a rabbi who's very world famous. And he says, listen, Rebbe, if I say something for myself, they're not going to listen. But if I say that I heard it from you, everyone's going to listen. So I'll say, okay, I'm not mocked, but anything you want, you could say that you heard from me. Now, the Rav is a mocked, the Rav says you can say that. Now, you know what? If a rabbi said that regarding a pshetel in a pasuk, right? You want to say over a pshat, oh, I heard this from my Rebbe, and that will get everyone to listen, right? Okay, maybe I can understand somebody saying it. But I can't understand somebody saying that in terms of a psak halacha. I can't understand in terms of psak halacha, to lie about a psak halacha. Yeah, you can quote me on a psak halacha. I mean, I don't know. Can you imagine Moshe Feinstein telling people? Sure, anybody can say anything that they want. I'll say something about this parenthetically, that Rav Soloveitchik, I won't say got into trouble, but there was confusion because he did give him, he gave different psak for different people, and there were other things going on as well. So for example, if a Talmud came in and said, you know, I had this and this question, and he would say, what do you want to say? And the guy would say, this is what I want to paskin. He'll say, okay, fine. Now that fine wasn't because he necessarily agreed, but he thought that it was a fair approach, and he was supporting the autonomy of his student to be a rabbi and to give his psak halacha.
I mean, I once discussed with Rav Lichtenstein the question of how I paskin for people 1 day or 2 days. And I told him that I paskin 1 day, he paskin a day and a half for people. And he listened to everything he said, and he said, okay. He didn't agree with me. I can assure you that there's no big chiddush over here, that I'm the only one in the world that knows Rav Lichtenstein said 1 day, because he didn't. He said a day and a half. He asked me a question. He goes, what do you do about this? And he goes, I'm uncomfortable because of this. But okay. His okay was, okay, you have the right to paskin. So the Rav Soloveitchik used to do that a lot. People would come in and say, this is it. He would say, okay. And he would also give different answers to different people because they were holding in different places. So then say, oh, Rabbi Soloveitchik held because I asked him and he said something, becomes very, very confusing because he wasn't writing a halachic book when he was letting different people say different things. Let's get closer to some kind of a conclusion for today. Source number 14, the Tiferet Yisrael. He's also a commentary on Pirkei Avot. He also starts off with the Tosa Yontif saying, you're not allowed to lie. But then, Ulafini Adati, Ipcha. What does Ipcha mean? You're allowed to lie. Ipcha. Darehitiru, Prushim Adavar, the Adaraba, Yatsula Sotkin. And then he quotes the Gemara, that he read an Imtir Tilechanek, Ilabi Ilan Gadol. So he quoted the ambiguous Rashi, again, the Gemara, with the ambiguous Rashi. He goes, look, you're allowed to do this. The Gemara says you're allowed to do this. So you all already know why I hesitate with using that Gemara as your proof. Why? I'm just not convinced that Gemara is the proof, because the Rashbam didn't understand it that way, or Rabbeinu Hananel didn't understand it that way. I'm not convinced Rashi said it that way, and the Aruch didn't understand it that way. So say, oh, look, the Gemara said it, is, in my mind, not necessarily the strongest proof. On top of page 3, I'm not going to read his whole thing, but he brings a number of Gemaras where it's problematic. And the truth is, we should go through all of these Gemaras. I'm not going to do it now. But we should go through all these Gemaras, but I want to go towards this conclusion, which is venerally, around 6 lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line. Venerally, kiven de ikaratam de asur lomer kein, hum mishum de shem yesh lefakir adavar zeh, sha'oma venimtsim abaze rabo. He's going back again to the way that we can read the Rambam. The whole problem is one is covered for the Rav. Im kein kishir borer lo sha'olacha kein, shari loma b'shem rabo kidei litin chizuk ladavar. So he just now drove me completely crazy. To say that when you know 100% that you're right, and you say, okay, my Rebbe said this to strengthen it, but to say that you can do this when you don't even... By the way, your conclusion should now be, I can't trust anything it says in the Tos, in the Tiferet Yisrael. That's it. I can't trust the Sefer anymore, because he just said you're allowed to quote somebody as saying something even if you're not sure you're right and you know he didn't say it. How can you trust anything that he writes anymore? Which means, isn't the Mesorah something that has to be holy to us? That it's not just teaching things over in the way that you understand it, but you have to teach things over that people actually said. Otherwise, you could take the whole Mesorah and throw it away. If you want the third one who goes in this approach, who is permissive, it was the last source 17, which is the Birkei Yosef. And that, by the way, he quoted from a Tshuvat Gaonim. And I looked this up on Shabbos. When we were engaged, I think Naomi was working and I was learning, and she bought me a whole set of the Otzer HaGaonim. So I still have this Otzer HaGaonim sitting and all the sheets of the Gaonim. I looked it up. Yeah, one of the guys, Rav Paltiel, actually said that. What can I do? Reb Chaim, by the way, once said that not everybody who lived in the time of the Gaonim was a Gaon. I don't mean to be dismissive of this or a Palti Gaon, but he said, because my grandfather, Reb Chaim, was also a Gaon, and I think that some of the things I've seen the Gaonim say... Yeah. Right. So I guess the biggest question is going to... Okay. Somebody's going to tell me, Rashi said this, and therefore I think it's allowed, I can understand it. Somebody wants to say that, like the Tiferet Yisrael said, but you're not even sure and you still do it, it's somewhat shocking to me. What I'm still left out a bit, and I want to come back to, is can somebody say something which may not be true, but they want to convince people, which means how far can somebody go in lies on this, and really what shita we find in this? Again, my conclusion in all this, if you haven't heard me very clearly in this, I think that this doesn't have sheker ein lo raglayim. Okay, I don't think that the whole shita has a leg to stand on. I think the Tosfot, I think the Magen Avraham who tried to say that kacha who we've been at Rashi,
I think nonetheless that he said that he ended up with Tzarechian. The big question is on the Tiferet Yisrael. The question was on the Machzor Shekel, who's trying to defend, and he starts going, you know, like this, the Tosfos Yontif. Read the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif says, you're not allowed to lie. What's the big chiddush here? You can't lie. Of course you can't do this. So just because the Rambam says it's an Indian of Kavod Rabbo doesn't mean that if you think you're bringing more Kavod, you're allowed to lie. I mean, like, where did that, you know, jump come from? But I guess what I want to still leave open right now for next time, or for another time, Belina, we'll see when we come back to it, something which I think some of us suspect may sometimes happen, there's enough some, like, questions involved in that, that someone will get up and say, you know, kacha amru hagdolim, kacha, they said, and the person knows absolutely it's not true, but he thinks he's being tzaddik because he thinks this is what the tzibur needs right now. They need such a thing. There's a... So I want to come... Right. Okay. So far, I think we all realize, you know, what was said, how far you can go with this. As I said, these people who may lie l'shem shamayim, right, or exaggerate or whatever, you know, I think half the kruzim that go up, maybe this, maybe more even. And I want to come back to and see in yesh b'chlal makor that a person's out of lie. I'll end just mentioning there's a Maharshal, the Yamshev Shlomo, who says that something which he calls Ziyuv HaTorah, to lie about what it says about Torah, he believes is Yehari Vayavar. Yehari Vayavar. So that would certainly be true in content. Is it also true in terms of Mesorah? I think it is, because the content is sometimes as strong as the Mesorah. And if you lie about the Mesorah, that's also Ziyuv HaTorah, which he holds as Yehari Vayavar. So do all these people not hold like the Marshal? As I said, I still have want to leave a little bit of a question mark here, how certain people behave the way that they do. But I think, meanwhile, at least this Magen Avraham, we succeeded in pointing out Tzarechian, ani lo batuach she Tzarechian. I think we were ma'ayin in this, in Kfar Yesh Lanu Havana.